Well, thanks everybody for coming. Just going to glory to God real quick. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity once again to come in your name and be a vessel that you choose to use and an instrument to use in the way you see fit. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of my workshop is How to Behave. This is the last time I'll do this workshop this year. A lot has happened from the last workshop I did, and God's really brought me through a lot. He's taught me some things. He's made more things real to me, and he really put me in the place that he wants me to be, and he's taught me, he's teaching me, and taught me how to walk there and reside there. What God did this time with me, I wasn't ready for. I didn't know what he was doing. I had no knowledge of what my workshop was going to, how it was going to end. I got here, and I was expecting the Holy Spirit to use me like he usually does. Usually I get up here, and he gives me a word and plenty of things to say and links them together. But that's not what he chose for me to do this time. God put on my heart when I was young, a kid, child, that I had a desire to write poetry, as most of you know, but I had a desire to actually make songs. But I never had the voice to do it. In other words, I could never find the linking between the music and me saying it. Like, the words and the music never matched up. So I'd forgotten about it. I pushed it to the side. I kept writing poetry, and I figured that God was going to use the ability he put inside me to write books, poetry, books, things of that nature. So I used poetry as a behavior mechanism to help me to get over things, anger, frustration, sadness, things of that nature that would cause my behavior to be disappointing, okay? Well, God finally brought me to a place where he said, you've maxed out your ability to behave accordingly to how you think the Bible tells you to. So the only option you have left is me. And he asked me what I wanted to do about it. It's funny how the Holy Spirit comes to you and asks you what you want to do, provides you with the answer, tells you the situation you're in, tells you you've done everything you can do, but there's still a lot more work to do. And then he gives you an opportunity, he presents you with choices. This is what I'm going to do, this is where you're at, this is what you've done. You've done good so far, but there's much, much more to do, and you don't have the capability of in and of yourself to perform it. What do you want to do? So with that, me being me, I was like, of course, I want to do what you want to do. That's my goal, that's what I want to do. I want my behavior to match up with your word perfectly. He said, are you sure? Yeah, I'm pretty positive. You know, that's why I go to Point of Hope and put me in the hands of your warriors. And yeah, this is what I want to do. He said, okay. And left it at that. Well, I was, my older brother has a softball team. Older brother's very athletic. He plays basketball. Any sport comes around, he's in it. I came up to the mindset of I'm kind of worse sports. I'm getting a little too old and it's not my thing anymore. But because it's my older brother and he asked me to play, me and my younger brother decided we'd do it anyway. Well, we had a game this Wednesday afternoon, and my younger brother had stopped over my house early that morning. He had to make a trip to Fairbanks, which is 100 miles from Delta. And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. I didn't have to work that day, so I decided I'd go with him. So we jump in the car. We head to Fairbanks. We knew we had, later on that night, we had a softball game to play on my older brother's team. Neither one of us wanted to play. So we're there thinking, trying to figure out ways to get out of playing. Well, our older brother's like dad to us. He's next in line. There's my dad and there's my brother, my older brother. So we knew if he got either one of us on the phone, we'd have to play. So we're in Fairbanks. My older brother's buying some pair of pants. And he calls me first, and I'm like, nope, I'm not answering it. So then he calls my younger brother, and he answered the phone. And he's like, dude, we got to get back. Dan wants us to play. And if we don't make it, we're out of people. And, you know, he's going to get mad. So we have to make it back. I'm like, okay, all right, well, let's go. So we jump in the car. We rush back. The game starts. It's once we get there, we're enjoying ourselves. You know, our family's there. All my brothers, all our wives play. It's co-ed league. So we're playing. We're having fun. It's my turn up to bat. I get up. My wife's on first base. And, you know, it's slow pitch. So they gave me a nice little blooper, and I hit it. I start running around the bases. My wife's running in front of me. She rounds second. I come up behind her. I'm starting to catch up with her. So my older brother's on third base. He's coaching. I get ready to round third base, and I'm really close to my wife now. So I slow down a little bit. My wife gets halfway to home plate, and I pick it up, and I look behind me, and I see them picking up the ball, and they start to throw the ball towards the infield. Well, my mind is like, I'm fast enough to, I'm going to make it. I'm going to beat this throw. My older brother's on third base. He goes, hey, if you're going to make it, you got to push it. So I pick it up, and I'm going as fast as I can. Well, our field isn't the best. And home plate, we're not allowed to slide. Well, I get halfway, and I remember this, and I see the catcher, and it's a girl. She's short, so I'm like, okay, I don't want to hit her, but I want to beat this throw. So I bend down to slide, and I remember I'm not allowed. When I came up, the bottom part of my knee went this way, and the top part went like that, and I hit the ground, and of course the game stopped. Luckily, as God would have it, in his wisdom, we were playing against the firefighters, which means they're all EMTs, medical certified, first response. The ambulance is sitting next to the field. It's been set up. I didn't pick any of this up when I got to the field. So I hit my back. My wife runs over there, my brother, everybody crowds around me, the firefighters. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? I was like, I don't know. I think so. I think I'm fine. Just give me a second. You know, usually when you get hurt, you wait for the pain to go away. Well, I'm laying there, and the pain's not going away. So I'm like, well, they're like, how bad are you hurt on a scale of 1 to 10? And my adrenaline's going, so I'm like, you know what, 4. I don't know. You know, I'm okay. Get me up. Get me to the dugout, and you guys can keep playing. So two of them grab me, and they go to stand me up. And when I stood up, I realized something was really wrong because it felt like all the flesh on my right of my knee was just pulling away from the bone. And I was like, put me down now. Put me down. Put me down. Something's wrong. They put me down, and they cut my pants leg open, and they're like, okay, dude, how do you feel? I'm like, I don't know. I just know I can't stand up. So they put me in the ambulance, take me into Delta where we live, and then from there they rushed me to, I went to Fairbanks. Locked in the emergency room, my wife and my kids follow me up in the van. They come in the room with me, the doctor comes in, she takes a look at my leg, 15 minutes, she takes a look, she goes, okay, you tore your ACL. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? She's like, well, you know, it's ACL tear, we want to do some MRIs tomorrow to make sure that's all you did, but for right now we'll give you some painkiller, morphine, and we'll send you home. I'm like, okay. I was like, does morphine work? She's like, yeah, it's fine. Up to this point, I felt pain before. I've never been in pain so much that if my child touched me, I wanted to yell at them. That's how much pain I was in. And I was like, well, is this going to make it so I can get home? She's like, oh, you're going to be fine. I'll have the nurse come in, give you the morphine. It'll kick in about 15 minutes. It'll be good to go. All right, cool. So I'm sitting there. 15 minutes go by, I'm still sitting there. And I'm trying to, my kids are all right here. My three young ones are sitting there. So I'm trying not to show too much grimace on my face. And wife walks around and she's like, hey, are you doing good? I'm like, mm-mm. She's like, get in here, get my husband some morphine right now. So they shoot me up and I'm sitting there and she's like, how does it feel? I'm like, I don't feel anything. I just feel the pain. And the doctor comes back and he's like, all right, it's 11 p.m. at night. There's nothing we can do right now. We're going to have to send you home. I was like, well, I don't want to go home. This hurts. I don't want to leave. She's like, you have to go. So they gave me some crutches and I let my behind out of there. Came back in the next day. We had to make appointments for MRI, see a specialist. And when they did the x-rays, did the MRI, sent me to a specialist. And the doctor said, listen, buddy, you did more than your ACL. It's like all your ligaments on your right side are completely torn. We need to do reconstructive surgery on your ACL. You pulled your meniscus. We need to do a bone graft in the back because that ligament in the back is completely torn. He's like, you have no stability whatsoever. He's like, honestly, to be honest with you, if you were any older, we wouldn't even bother with you. You tore it so bad. The only reason why we're going to do anything with your knees is because I feel that you're young enough to recuperate. But if you were older, I would just say good luck because you really messed yourself up. I was like, okay. And honestly, I'd never been in the situation before. So I wasn't depressed. The weirdest thing, I wasn't unhappy. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. All right, so what can you do? And he's like, well, we got to do surgery. I was like, well, how much time do I have? But first, no, I was like, is there any way this can heal by itself without surgery? He's like, no. I was like, okay, when do you want me to get the surgery? He said, as soon as possible. So we set up for that next week on Thursday. So I come back up. I get the surgery. He's like, it's going to be a three-hour surgery. I'm like, no problem. I get done with the surgery. They take me to a pain clinic afterwards. He's like, well, we thought it was going to be 3 hours, but it's a five-hour surgery because it was a little bit more damage than I even thought once I got in there. We want to put you in a pain clinic overnight because I don't know what we have that's going to be able to kill this pain. He's like, so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of keep updosing the pain meds and try different ones until something actually works. Okay. That first night was just horrible. My mom came up. She took my kids, so they're going to have to be in the hospital. My wife stayed in the hospital with me that night, and I could only sleep as long as what the pain medication they gave me to kind of, it didn't kill the pain, it just kind of made it bearable, you know? So they finally got the dosage right the next day. I was in there all night, just up. If you touched me, if you flinched like you were going to touch me, just my entire leg was just throbbing with pain. So long story short, the doctor who did the surgery, they actually called me in the middle of the night because the stuff they were giving me wasn't working. They asked me, they wanted to give me some hydromorphine mixed with something else, to mix it, the strongest things they had, they said. So they gave it to me, and it still hurt like the dickens, but that's all they had. Like, we can't give you anything else. This is legal narcotics. This is the best we can do. So I'm like, well, get me out of here. She's like, well, are you still hurt? Yeah, I was still like at a 9. But I'm like, no, send me home. So we get in the car, you know, we get home. The ride home was horrible. We get there, and I'm laying in my bed, and my home that we have, it's wood. You have to burn wood for heat. I'm laying in bed. I'm like, I can't move. I can't get out of bed. I can't do anything. I literally was bedridden for a month. I had to ice my leg 24/7. I couldn't feel anything on the right side of my leg. I couldn't feel ice, couldn't feel anything, just pain. Sleeping wasn't happening. My mom would come check on me and ask me how I was doing, and I'm hurting, and that's all I could say. Just, you know, trying not to cry when she's in the room. And so with all that going, then God started talking to me when I couldn't move. And this is where the behavioral, the last part of my behavior was going to kick in, God's modification of my behavior. Because remember, he told me that I did maxed out my ability to behave correctly. I've done everything I could do to follow what I thought I was supposed to be following. So while I was in the hospital, okay, as parents, we teach our kids what we know. We give them what we got. So my parents put God in me, so I try to put it in my kids. The Holy Spirit walked me through a couple of different situations while I was out that really showed me where I was with my children, if I was giving them what my parents gave to me. I always told my kids that, you know, God's in charge first. God's over this house, me and your mom, everything, then daddy, okay? That's how it works. God first, daddy answers to God. God put me over the house for your protection, your provider, things like that, and then me and your mom, you know, we're a unit. So when I was in the hospital, after I had the surgery, my mom had my three kids, and she's like, listen, you need to talk to your son. He's been crying all night. You got to talk to your son. I was like, okay. I got three kids. I got two girls and a boy, okay? Up to this point, if you had asked me of my kids who was the strong one, who had the most compassion and love, and who was gentle, I would have got it all wrong. I would have got it all wrong. This moment changed my view of my children. A mom comes in, and she's like, listen, can you do this? I was like, no, but okay. So I'm like, okay. All right. Look strong. Look not in pain because your kids are coming in. You know, up to this point, I'm Superman. You know, they walk in the room, and first my older daughter comes over to me, and she goes, Daddy, she's 10. She goes, Daddy, how you feeling? It's like, oh, I'm okay. She's like, you're hurting, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, good. Man up. You're going to get through this. Man up, okay? Focus. You got me? Man up. And she goes and sits down. All right. My youngest, who's 4, comes in. My youngest daughter. She comes around the bed. She's like, Daddy, Daddy. Just gives me a big hug and just loves on me. She goes and sits down. My son comes in. But he doesn't come directly over to me. He comes into my bed where mom was. And he looks at me, and he comes around the bed where I'm at. He goes, Daddy, I'm mad at God. It's like, whoa, time out. What do you mean you're mad at God? He's like, Daddy, you told me God was in charge, and he would protect us and keep us safe. But you're hurt. You're hurt bad. God didn't do his job. part of me was overjoyed because the thing you got to remember is my son knew where to go. He went to God. He didn't come to me, grandma, mommy. He went to God and said, God, you promised, and this is what happened. So I looked at my son and I smiled. I was like, wow. Wow. God's there. He's there. I was like, son, let me explain something to you. God never promised that daddy wouldn't get hurt, or you won't get hurt, or your sisters won't get hurt, or your mommy won't get hurt. But he promised to be with us through the pain. He promised to help us through it. It's like the only reason why daddy's still here and I'm going to walk in is because Jesus is here with me. He's helping me here. He's here right now with me, son. So you owe God an apology. He goes, so Jesus, is he helping you? I'm like, yeah, of course he's here. He's not going to leave me by myself. Who's stronger? God. Who's always there? God. Okay, you're right, Dad. Okay. Jesus, I'm sorry. That made everything okay. So we get back home. I'm home. Back to my bedroom. Now I'm helpless. Now it's just me and my pain. This is where the Holy Spirit began to enlighten me. And remember, I can't move now. If I wanted to run, I couldn't. I can't. There's nothing I can do. I'm just in bed in pain. Over this course, the Holy Spirit gave me five songs, okay? I'd always wanted to write songs, but like I said before, I couldn't match it up. I didn't have the ability. While I was down, the Holy Spirit gave me my voice. More important to me, he gave me his voice. And I remember when he gave it to me because I started crying. Anyway, I'll get to that. I think it's the third one in. So I'm going to play this song. And this first song that he gave me, it's a representation of where I was. Even though up to this point I'd done everything I knew to do, I still had unanswered questions. I still was questioning if God was still there. I was questioning if he was really with me. I was questioning everything a man in my position could possibly question and not get on God's bad side. Put it like that, okay? So this is the first one he gave me. You two, tell me if this is too loud for you guys. All right. All right. So listen to the words.
Need to be free. I've been chosen and frozen, creating corrosion. Is that the plan? after I finished and stole them, my disaster, what bats in my father's heavenly hand, never related and said, for proof I've been forgiven.
You were behind me the whole time. Line for line, rhyme for rhyme, you were behind me the whole time. Line for line, rhyme for rhyme, you were behind me the whole time. Line for line.
So that was my plea that went out before the Father. Like, you gave me promises. You prophesied over me. You said these things were going to come to pass. I'm stuck here. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to prove to me you are who you said you are beyond my ability to not mess up anymore? Or do you have something better than that? Is our Christian walk something beyond just me doing the right thing? That was the question that went out before the Father. And the one thing about being trapped in a bed and not moving, because you can say whatever you want. When you can't go anywhere, God's voice is louder than it's ever been. You hear him more clearly than you've ever heard him because you can't escape. He's going to get his point across. It was funny, my younger brother, he's very, how do you say it, sensitive when it comes to me, very sensitive. And he called me, being bedridden, and he knows me and my mom travel a lot, and we were in Point of Hope and stuff, and he was distraught a little bit because I was caught up in the bed, and I was hurt, and he's like, man, I don't understand why you are the one out of all of us, out of us three of us brothers, that you're the one in the bed. And he's like, I was praying, and I was mad at God. He's like, why Ben, you know? And God told him, he said, because Ben needs to settle down and sit down and be still for a second. So I had to help him out. I thought that was hilarious. He told me. I was like, well, that makes sense, because now I can't move. All right. So time goes on. I'm in bed, and God's really, really going after me. He's explaining things to me that I didn't see before. He's teaching me about his perspective and not my will. All right? His perspective and not my will. The Holy Spirit and not my spirit to achieve what I think, you know, religious or biblically is supposed to achieve. It's not the same thing. Well, now, instead of just me reading about the Bible or me praying about it on my knees and then getting up and doing what I had to do, now he was showing me, physically showing me, first of all, the things he's done in my family and my children, their viewpoint on God, where they stand on God, where they're going to go when things get rough and I can't come to their aid. I learned more about my wife when I was out, because you got to remember, I couldn't do anything. I needed help to go to the bathroom. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't do anything. My wife, good Lord, like, she loves me so much, so much. And it took this beautiful, awesome event to let me see really how much God had put in her and how much she stood for what God has given us, you know. The second one God gave me, I began to see the value in my pain, if you will. I began to see a little bit of the value in my situation, let's say. And so the second one is really God showing me not just my situation, because the situation he began to show me is like, this is also the state of the world, okay? The state of the world's in a place, they're stuck. They can't move. Some of it's because they haven't been taught, because they've strayed so far away. Some of it's because nobody's bothered to sit down with them and explain to them about me, truthfully, you know? Really, really tell them who I am and why you serve me, why you believe in me. That's what they need. They need to know why you do what you do. You can read scriptures all day long, but why do you do it? And this second one is God giving me a little bit clearer picture on that. All right. And thanking him in a way for my predicament.
Praying, red idea, my faith goes in the air, the cares of green things. I
stand, my hair is there. We'll lose the stand, we'll still have a third step. But if I look at the screen, on my back, the air is shared. What's it called? My knee, my right knee. Something's funny, tragic, static, tragic, word nerd. Tragic's not a word, but pain's a new king. Make you start pain, the voice piercing. The smirk, lingering, dismembering. Sugary, quivering, cheering, it rings. My Japanese tapestries, drum roaring. It's lacking knees. It's fashion and facts, the ways that honey bubblebees. Honey bubblebees, excuse me please. Oh no, it's the doctor, he's come for me. He's come for me. You hide me, I wanna be hidden. You show me, I wanna be seen. If you grow me, grown man, forgive me. Because you love me, the sun is seen. If you hide me, I wanna be hidden. If you show me, I wanna be seen. If you grow me, grown man, forgive me. Because you love me, the sun is seen. Material crucial ligament, not inferior or superior. Needle meniscus, snap like a box of Triscuits. Surgical surgery must be for the surgeon to fix it. Hydromorphine to kick it. After surgery, morphine. The survivor's Christmas list. Every 4 hours, pop pills of this. The agony, the tragedy, constipation, ridiculous. I know where you're going. I'm moving, I'm moving. Gathering firewood or catch a fish. Not me, my knee, my bone grafts. All of this, the logical sentiment. Unknown sequence, unusual turn of events. And then this, and then it happened. Mentally amassed skin, answer prayer. Like the enlightenment, the reach for entitlement. Bed rest, the vitamin. Faced in the face with faith, the fight I'm in. As I lay there staring, you showed me care. Worth no compare. My family was there, my family was there, my family was there. If you hide me, I wanna be hidden. You show me, I wanna be seen. If you grow me, grown man, forgive me. Because you love me, the sun is seen. If you hide me, I wanna be hidden. If you show me, I wanna be seen. If you grow me, grown man, forgive me. Because you love me, the sun is seen. Like I said, that ribbon head, blessed clarity, living forgiven, hold my sanity. Time goes by, my aunt B, with his feet, look in her eye, I can see my uncle remembers me. The pattern to have me here for she, for me. His voice, my choice, true king, out of me. Given gladness, tears of poetry, I wake up debating, worry conflating. Suddenly he's mastery, and then with me, when I'm open, the words spoken, a symphony. In his hand is playing, proclamation, poverty, prodigy, possibly brought that gift to me. He brought my thought and placed it with fluency. Showed what's owed, blank slip, waiting for me to be. The Holy Spirit, I fear, for wisdom is sitting next to me. The tears flowed and showed me who I'm gonna be. The song isn't what it is, it's not what I got. It's not the same old thing, for it is what he brought. You have an above, he loves us through love. This is my anthem, Jesus love. Jesus love, Jesus love. This is my anthem, Jesus love. You hide me, I wanna be hidden. You show me, I wanna be seen. If you grow me, grown man, forgive me. Because you love me, the sun is seen. If you hide me, I wanna be hidden. If you show me, I wanna be seen. If you grow me, grown man, forgive me. Because you love me, the sun is seen.
Up until this point, my walk with God, I had stipulations on how God was allowed to use me. You know, I would always pay attention to the superstars of the world, you want to say, you know, the athletes, the LeBrons or the musicians, you know, the Jay-Z's or whoever it was. And I always said, you know what, God, you know, if you ever in your infinite wisdom decide to give me a gift that the world's going to want to see, I don't want to be known. You're not allowed to use me. You can use the gift, but I want to be anonymous. I don't want people to know who I am. How would that work? How would that work? So God uses me to put out a gift. But the glory of God is going to come from him using me and people understanding that it had nothing to do with me in the first place. But I was telling God, no. They can see the gift, but they can't see me. I want to stay hidden. And when I was in my bed, God said, that's not how this works. Okay? I'm going to use you. I'm going to use all of you, especially your flaws, because everybody's going to know what you're capable of and what you're not. And everything they see, everything they're attracted to, the glory that they can't help but be underneath, that's all mine. That belongs to me. You can't have that. That's mine. God doesn't share his glory. And I didn't understand that principle yet. My behavior wasn't allowing God to fully access every part of me, especially the parts of me that he wanted to. And when I was in my bed, God said, you got to pick now. If I'm going to use you in any way I see it, then I'm going to use all of you. you're going to have to completely step out of the way. So when he gave me that, the hook, if you hide me, I want to be hidden. That was me surrendering myself, saying, God, if you have me in the shadows, that's where I want to stay. If you choose to show me, Ben Glass, for who I am, I want to be seen. If you grow me to the place where you put me out there, I'm forgiven. I'm only there because you forgave me. I have salvation. I have righteousness. I have grace. I have mercy. And I will tell anybody that you choose for me to tell. Because you love me, when they look at me, they look at your gift, they see whatever you choose for them to see, they're going to see Jesus. I'm not going to be there anyway. And so finally, he started drilling that into me. It's about me. Yes, sir. So, as time goes on, I now knew, okay, I now knew what I needed to ask God for. I was beginning to understand that it wasn't something I could do, but I still had to offer God, I had to give God free rein in my life to do with my life as he chose. I had to give him that, open the door for him so he could come clean house and do whatever he needed to do. So then, the next thing he brought my dream back to me. It's the next thing he gave me. When I was growing up, when I got to junior high, I realized I could play ball. It wasn't a dream up to that point. It wasn't something I never said, I want to go to the NBA. But I was just better at it than everybody else in my town. Our town's this big. Here's the world, here's our town. It's not big, all right? The people that came out for sports is because they had nothing else to do. They didn't play basketball, they just were there. But in my head, I'm the best player here. That's why every time we go outside of Delta, we lose by 30 points. But, you know, I'm the best player here. So I begin to tell myself, hey, you know, you're good at this basketball thing. You put enough time in it. You spend enough time doing it. You could go to the NBA one day. God never said anything to me about the NBA ever, okay? Ever. We never had the conversation. I never even asked God to go to the NBA. So my dream truly was when I was a kid is to make music. That's what it was. Like I said, I never had. It's funny because, you know, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. All right. It took me a long time to realize that God's the one that puts the desires there in the first place. Yes. Okay. So I'm saying I'm gonna do something that wasn't a desire ever, and it was never in my heart to desire to go to the NBA. But I was good at it. You know what I'm saying? I was better than this guy who was like 4'2" and didn't ever pick up a ball until the season came rolled around. You know, so. You're so silly. So, God brought the desire that I had when I was younger back to my remembrance, and He began to give me a heart for everybody else that wasn't me. I'm gonna say it like that, okay? He began to help me see that. It's not really what's done to me that matters. It's what he does with it and puts back that counts, you know? Before, I was always like, you know, go to my mom. Bless my mom's heart. She lives down the street. It's her fault, okay? So I would always run to my mom, like, Mom, they're not letting me do this. Mom, they're not letting me do that. Mom, this, Mom, that, you know? And she would look at me in her wisdom and say, okay, would you pray about it? And I dare not go to my dad. You don't go to dad complaining, because my dad's all about faith in the Bible. Like, you, because he's going to say, wait, okay, did you talk to God? You didn't talk to God, but you're here talking to me. Get out. Go. Mom will at least humor you a little bit and hear you or her baby. She'll hear you out a little bit, but not my dad. So, you know, I go to my mom, and she would look at me, and she's like, I understand where you're coming from, but there's more to this. You need to really go research this out. You need to really, really pray about it, and then we'll see. We'll go from there. So this next song is when God really started working on me and telling me that it's not about me at all. I am a little bit, you know. If God resides with me and I have his grace and I have his mercy and his love is on me and I have his, what's that thing Nancy kept saying? We're going to, grace, favor. And I already have the favor of God on me, then what about everybody who doesn't, you know? So this song really started opening my eyes up to that.
If I knew what I could be, then I would see what should be trained as me. All my dreams too elaborate, it's a habit. I'm on top of a pad of paint, it's a magic, an extravagant fact. Matter of fact, I'm an addict, enthusiastic slack. Pain is a tactic, bleeding automatic. In the beginning was the word, the voice, not static. Mankind problematic, fruitful tragic. Our memories are lasting, honest and torn like fabric. Wasteful deeds become entrapment. Excuses are fail fast and lost without inhabitants. Water standing stagnant, frozen nose and magnet. Senses, clothing, jacket, beauty, broken baskets. Fall without hatching, the deceiver minds are plastic. Existence, they mask it. The plan is to cast it. The problem, only I even has it. Which is why fire loves plastic. If you knew, then you know. If you would, then you would grow. If you could, you would show. Because you don't, erratic flow. If you knew, then you know. If you would, then you would grow. If you could, you would show. Because you don't, erratic flow. Lies are marks, time doesn't owe. Truth white as snow. Lies are marks, time doesn't owe. Truth white as snow. If I could face it, taste it, place it. If I could make it, take it, fake it. If I could shake it, bake it, naked. If I could name it, claim it, gain it. I could aim it, tame it, frame it. But there were notions that I'd be changing. The rain that stains is pain. But through life, the truth is known by name. The gift is man's acclaim. Dirt is not insane. Growth is grown, not shame. Power is known, not stained. Forgiveness, forgive, life remains. The lost and seen, forgotten frames. Honey is sweet, sugar canes. Belief is brought, not tamed. If you knew, then you know. If you would, then you would grow. If you could, you would show. Because you don't, erratic flow. If you knew, then you know. If you would, then you would grow. If you could, you would show. Because you don't, erratic flow. Lies and marks, time doesn't owe, truth white as snow. Lies and marks, time doesn't owe, truth white as snow. And there you have it, the scene and graphic, my diction classic, sporadic and spastic, fashion elastic, the task to pass it, grow and grasp it, nearly got drafted, and then I had it, learning my habit, taught and asked it, mirror and tasked it, place with grace, peace on his face. He's my addiction, my healing prescription. No lies are fiction, his voice my diction. He's my decryption, my vow description. Hear my words, see my depiction. At night he's the light, and the day is the way. The fight he's the strength, the reason I pray. This must be heard, encouraged to say. On heaven's throne, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the way. If you knew, then you know. If you would, then you would grow. If you could, you would show. Because you don't, erratic flow. If you knew, then you know. If you would, then you would grow. If you could, you would show. Because you don't, erratic flow.
Well, at this point, God was telling me, God had showed me up to this point what I was missing. He brought me through the fact that I can't tell him how to use me and the gifts he put inside me. That's all him. If I want to move on, I have to understand that. His way, not my way. That went out the window. Then he brought it back to my attention. It's not about what's done to you. It's what I use it for. That went out the window. Then he brought back my first love, the desire he put there from birth. I'd always had the ability to write. Nobody taught me. I just sat down one day. Mom told me to go write a poem because I was in a bad mood, and her and my dad were busy doing bookwork for the business, the LG Trucking that my dad has. I went to my mom because I always go to my mom and talk about everything, and for this day, she was just like, hey, go write a poem, and brush me off. That was the day I learned I had this gift, and I sat down and wrote a poem, and I didn't even keep it. I just felt so good afterwards that I threw it away, and every time I got mad or emotional, I would write a poem. And one day, she caught me doing it, and she's like, what are you doing? I was like, you told me to write a poem, like, well, 2 months ago, and I just keep writing them because they make me feel better. She's like, well, don't throw this one. She's like, what do you do? I was like, I throw them away when I'm done because they make you feel better. She's like, let me see it when you're done. So I wrote it. I showed it to her. She's like, don't throw them away anymore. Keep them. That moment was the moment I realized God had given me this gift. I was like, wow, okay. So from that moment, I start compiling these poems just because they made me feel better, not because I was ever going to do anything with them. But so God brought back, he showed me what he gave, what my desire truly was, part of why he created me, part of my makeup, what it was. But I was still missing something. Because the Bible says, where two or more are gathered, two or three are gathered, God is there. So I'm still by myself here. So God, remember, I'm still laid up in my bed, and God's saying, okay, what have I given you that's more than just you, but that you need to keep on going? So I thought about that. He's like, what have I given you that's more than just you that you need to keep on going? Sat there. He's like, okay, let's make this really easy for you. You can't get out of bed. If you're hungry, who are you going to call? My wife. Okay. You need to go to the bathroom. It's embarrassing that might sound. Who are you going to call? My wife. Okay. You need some more ice in that little ice machine they gave you? Because you can't get up and get it. Who are you going to call? My wife. Okay. Now, if I ask you the question again, do you understand what I'm saying? My wife? Yeah, there you go, buddy. All right. Now you're getting it. He said, I gave you something when I gave you her. She's not just your wife. She's more than your helpmate. It's because of me working through her in your life, you are at this point right now. You are asking questions because she's there. You've changed because she's there. You've got stronger. You've got closer to me because you had to learn how to walk as a husband. You had to learn how to walk as a dad. You had to learn how to speak to a woman. So what is it about your wife that I'm trying to, you know, pang home to you, get across to you? Stop and thought about it. He's like, we're two or more gathered. You don't get to me without her. You need her to get to me. So he sat me down, and he gave me this last one. And second to last one. He gave me this one, and you got to understand, man, when I'm asking God a question, I'm in prayer, and I don't know an answer to something. If I write, the answer comes. Always. It always comes. Just because the answer comes to me, I always get it right away. A lot of times he'll give it to me, and I have to go back and read it. And read it. And read it. That's what happened with this. This was a collection of poems I had written over time for Mother's Day and birthdays for my wife. And I didn't know there was a song there, you know, but he told me to go back. Every book that I had wanted and that he wanted to use, it's in this book. It's in that book. It's in this page of that book. And then I put it together, and it wasn't until he was complete compiling this, until he gave me the music to put on this, until he put all together, I didn't realize what he had done. And so this is what he gave me.
God placed in you with everlasting beauty. The fact it's true. The law.
belong in my heart. Let me and you, the quest to find in the garden that grew. When the wind blows, our children come near, and thank the Lord, for it is clear. Without you, life cannot be. For your love, the God uses to shape me. When I'm alone and in the fight, it's the thought of you that gives me my might. I can, and I know that I will. When we are together, heaven comes closer still. In our children, each one at a time, you share your love that brings from your mind. You give them hope and teach them about time. For it's in the subtle things that a mother's love is refined. For all you do, the children and I thank you. For without you, they'll be to us the minds that rhyme.
You live when you love, you love when you live. God is above, loves all his kids. You live when you love when you live. God is above, hugs all his kids. Amen.
Oh, of course, to be so blind, a new love, a precious and aging wife. A God gift sent that you understand, to open with thy heart God's guiding hand. Of many pieces of love and hate, of that which has a story, all from within. Ending its destiny, first born and now born. But of course, he's in charge, and taking his way to grow. But else back here, from me to the heart, it only be felt that God has made the beginning of a new start. I made that prayer, but once again, God has been faithful and brought water to bed.
Live when you love when you live. God is above, loves all his kids. Live when you love when you live. God is above, hugs all his kids. Live when you love when you live. God is above, loves all his kids. Live when you love when you live. God is above, hugs all his kids.
Amen.
So, up to this point now, I'm like, well, okay. So, I need to, God's saying, I'm going to teach you more about the relationship that you and your wife are supposed to have in front of me. And you're the catalyst to that. It starts with you. I give you the directive, and you follow it faithfully. And when she's ready, when I'm ready, then she'll come along. So, I'm thinking I'm doing pretty good up until this point. Right now, I'm back to work. I'm walking with crutches. So, I'm like, okay. I'm getting to where I'm supposed to be. Not even close. Okay. So that comes later. So the day the test comes. The day the test comes, I was in a program at my church. Okay, it's deacon in training program. Most people know me. I'm sold out for God. At least I thought. Do whatever it takes. At least I thought. Read my Bible enough, pray enough. At least I thought. The time came for everybody that they put in the deacon training program to become deacons. I wasn't on the list. I didn't make the cut. So, went to church, watched them set people in that weren't me as deacons, and hurt. It honestly hurt. If anybody comes at me in any other direction using any other thing besides God or things of the Lord, I don't care. When somebody comes at me saying that I don't love God enough, I don't dedicate my life to God enough, I don't care about what God cares about, it bothers me. It bothers me to the point of anger, of just not even righteous anger, just straight anger. Just I'm upset. Like I want to do something to you, and that's not a godly trait. But up until this point, God had let it go. Up until this point, I considered that me defending the faith, okay? I considered, my behavior in that moment, I'm doing what nobody else is willing to do. I'm going to stand here for God on my own 2 feet, and nothing you can do about it. Well, God's like, well, that's not necessarily the case, son. It's time for me and you to meet. It's time for us to sit across from each other. But you're not going to be ready for what happens. How I'm telling it to you is not how he told it to me. I found myself in a situation I couldn't get out of, and I found myself making choices I couldn't make. I found myself up against a foe I couldn't beat. I found myself drowning with nobody there to save me. Couldn't swim out of it. The ocean was too deep. Couldn't fight my way out of it. There's too many of them. I couldn't pray hard enough because I didn't know how to pray. I couldn't ask my mom and dad for help because I was on my own this time. And one thing God did make crystal clear to me, I knew this was coming because God doesn't ever let you walk in any place without telling you first. I knew this meeting was coming. I was preparing for it, I thought. I talked about it with my wife. I was like, I know what they're going to do when I get there. It's okay. I'm ready. I'm going to give them all I got. We got to the meeting, and it was quiet like this in the beginning. We had one of our apostles come down from out of state somewhere. He's over our church. He's an apostle over our church. I have so much respect for this, the God in this man. It's, I can't even explain it. Like, he's prophesied over me since I was a baby, like young little boy. Him and Mary Glacier had been prophesied over me. God's used this man so much in my life. He's somebody to me. Somebody I really, really have a lot of respect for. He was the one that was going to be the mediator. Other two gentlemen, which will remain nameless because it wasn't about them. I walk in the meeting. The only thing God let me say was this. I said, listen, I'm a grown man. My decision to serve God is mine and mine alone. Me and my parents go to the same church. They're elders in this church, okay? I'm their son. So my mom is a mom first. She loves me. I'm her kid. I'm a little boy. So a lot of times when leadership would have issues with me or how I was acting, she would catch the brunt of it and I wouldn't. She would gladly step in the way for me so I wouldn't get hit with anything because she didn't want my faith to be crushed by them. She didn't want me to lose sight of God. And that was okay for a time. But if I was going to do what God called me to do, I was going to have to learn to stand by myself. So I walked in the meeting. I said, listen, I'm a grown man. I love God for me. All the decisions I've made in this church, every action I've ever taken was not my mom or my dad. It was all me. If you have issues with somebody, you have them with me. From now on, you leave my mom and my dad out of any decision that I made or the consequences of any decision that I've made. That's all God let me say. The rest came. They accused me. Okay. They lied on me to my face. They lied about me and my wife. They lied about anything you could think of. They weren't telling the truth. I was sitting there, and this man of God sitting directly across from me. This individual goes. I'm sitting there. I was like, you know what? I'm getting there. I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to let them say whatever they want. I don't care. Whatever. I'm sitting in there, and they start. I can feel it coming up. I'm starting to get mad. I'm sitting there. I'm like, nope. I'm not going to get mad. I don't care. I don't care what they say. It's getting thicker and thicker. Now I can taste it. I'm so mad. And it busted. I'm like, listen. You're lying. And you're lying. That's all I was allowed to say. They kept coming. Pop, 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 pop. Man of God sitting across from me. I'm expecting him to jump in. Because usually, if there's a debate or issues, you know, they stop you. And like, listen, you look at this. You look at that. He didn't say a word. He just sat there and stared at me. Just stared at me. I started to cry because they're attacking my belief in God. Now they're attacking me. And I thought I was ready to handle it, but I wasn't. It was crushing me. Like I was dying. Like something wasn't right. Usually I could take it. You know, I could stand up there. I might get mad, you know, I might get indignant, but it doesn't really get to me. It was getting to me. My armor wasn't good enough. My belief, my faith, my strength nothing was working. It was getting to my flesh. It was killing me. I looked across the table. And that guy, the man of God, wasn't sitting there anymore. I saw the Holy Spirit sitting there. And he looked right in my eyes, put his hands on the table. He said, focus on me. Don't lose your focus. Look at me. Look at me. I'm like, I can't. I can't. I'm crying. They're going, pa, 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 pa. And it's like, for a second, they disappeared. The accusations turn into imps, if you will. Things that want to hurt me. Say it like that. And yet the Holy Spirit's sitting across from me. He's like, focus. This is bigger than what you think. You need to focus. He's like, Ben, focus. I'm like, I can't. I can't. I'm trying. He's like, focus. Yes, you can do. He's like, look at me. What do you want? He's like, do you want to quit? I'm like, yes. He's like, you can't. Focus. So I'm everything I can, just staring. I mean, I'm literally locked, just like this. Like, I'm looking at you, just locked. He's like, okay, stay right there. This has to happen. Like, you're not going to protect me? He's like, nope, this is going to happen. They're going to kill you here tonight. I'm like, but you know me. I've spent time with you. Just stay quiet and focus on me. By this time, I'm sobbing. Like, I'm pretty much on the floor. I'm like, you know, God, I can't handle this. It's too high. I can't. That's the point. You can't. You never could. You were protected before. I let your mom take 90% of it because it's your mom. She loves you. But you told me you want to be with me. Then you need to stand. And you need to stand alone with just me. So they got done doing their thing, and oh, man, anger was gone. Anger got beat. He got beat out of me. I'm crying like a baby, and I'm so frustrated because I don't understand. And the man of God looks at me and he goes, "Listen, I know you." He's like, "I know you don't want to quit." The thing that caught my heart is because in my quiet time, in my prayer closet, there's something I pray to God that nobody knows. I don't tell people about. It's something I always say to God. And that's exactly what he said across the table from me, and nobody knows because I don't tell anybody. It's secret. It's private. But that's the words that came out of his mouth. It's like, "I know you don't want to quit. You don't want to quit, do you?" "No, but there's nothing left of me." So I get out of there, and he's in man of God sitting across from me, says what he had to say, and he was right. You know, he was right. I had to look at these two gentlemen and ask them to forgive me. And I knew I had to do it, so I did it. Something did it that was not me. Gave me the strength to do what needed to be done. Asked both of them to forgive me, walked out. Walk in my front door, I'm like, okay, when you go in the house, just be cool. Your wife doesn't even know about what happened. Just be cool. Like, all right. Yeah, I walk in my front door. She's like, "Hey, how'd it go?" I'm like, "Oh, it went fine." "No, it didn't." I threw my bag on the couch and started crying. Luckily, my kids are all asleep. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm like, "I don't understand." I was like, "I am in the dark. I'm lost. I don't understand why this happened. I don't get it. So I walk outside on the porch. It's dark this time of year. I walk outside in the back of my house. I'm staring at the stars. I'm like, "God, I don't understand. What did I do wrong? I don't get this." I was like, "What else do I have to do?" So I walk back in the house. I'm like, "Babe, I need to talk to you." I was like, "Sit down." I was like, "I need you to tell me the truth." I was like, "You're the only one I can trust right now. I need you to tell me the truth." I was like, when we are disagreeing, arguing, "Have I ever scared you?" She's like, "Well, honey, I know you'd never hurt me." I was like, "That's not what I asked you. Have I ever scared you?" She looks down, looks over to the side. She already knows I'm crying. She's like, "Yeah, you have before." And when she said that, I just stopped fighting. Just, if I was in a hospital, they would took me off life support and I'd have died. I was done. Hearing that from my helpmate, from my wife, my best friend, it crushed me. Because my job is to protect her, is to keep her safe. And at times, I was not doing that. How could God possibly use somebody who couldn't even, in his own home, offer a place of security all the time? So we talked some more, and I need to be alone. Like, I did not need to be around people. And this is how I know the Holy Spirit is very prevalent in my life. We get up, go in the bedroom, and I'm just standing there. Like, I have nothing else to say. I'm just standing there, just literally like this. And she's like, "You know what? I'm going to go sleep upstairs with the kids tonight. I think you need to be by yourself." Gently shut the door, walks upstairs. So I'm laying there in the bed, and he gave this to me. And I was late here. Good old mom in the back room. One more thing. My mom called me right after this happened, and she's like, "Hey, She knows that about everything. How did the meeting go? I was like, oh, it went awesome. It was the best meeting I've ever been in my entire life. She's like, okay, good. I'm like, yeah, it was, man, it was so good. Hung up the phone. I'm like, oh, I just lied to my mom. All right, so here's the last one.
Face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's gonna take you to do. Face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's gonna take you to do. You to do. Take a jacket, latch it, buckle the brackets, take a silent dance, I'm down, crank guns, so buzz in a padded room without a broom, convicted of doom, be a silent inside him, psycho with a boom, he's been labeled a fable, master not true, but alone, on his own, fighting for food, he's well prepared, but he's scared, cause one is not two, in the air, no one's there, wrongfully accused, her stare is unfair, the jail of the Scott, for his shoes, the symmetry, the entity of mimicry, lethargy, canvassing effortlessly, broken bones, shattered homes, the place for me. Oh, an escape of fate requires a clean plate in front of me. What's become of me? Shunned a prodigy, spiritual oddity. The truth is I'm pottery, being shaped is wobbling me. On one leg in a wobbly me, God's grace is stalking me. Never alone, he's watching me. For I was born a mystery, patiently waiting as he writes my history. I wonder why he invented me. My anger is insanity, lacking breath amidst the inhumanity. Holy Spirit, you have a hand for me. Without you, my choice is vanity. My choice is vanity.
You face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, who's gonna take you to do? You face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, who's gonna take you to do? You to do. I told a lie. I couldn't bear the look in my mother's eye. Suicide, time to die. There's pain, there's nowhere to hide. I'm broken inside. Shadow is being torn alive. The blood I'm bleeding, I can't hide. There's no disguise. The agony is too agonizing to describe. And all I see is smiles in their eyes. They glow with pride. I failed to try. The lost victimized me staying alive. My only selection, take it in stride. Not full grown, career my own, the reason I survived. The vehicle's there, but the Holy Spirit has to drive. I want to be buried alive. Truth is, death wouldn't free me from my pride. My family victimized me, every heartbeat, my heart beats inside. Pick me up, although Lazarus was resurrected, he still died. Jesus, please, I'm alone and crying to survive. My hope is unknown, my steps I cannot contrive. Murder me, my miracle from the other side. I'm in the dark, I'm lost, my tears no longer cry. If you hear me, please, my plea, don't deny. I admit I'm terrified, but I'm not a spy. I'm not a spy, I admit I'm terrified, but I'm not a spy.
Face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's gonna take you to do. Face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's gonna take you to do.
I walk in the courtroom with the verdict already derived. The judge sitting too high, he's seen by the naked eye. He smells a fragrant, too lovely to describe. In his voice, supremacy, victorious, the name of the sword on his side. Emotion to the tribunal, the voice is unable to ascribe. Then it was final, my judgment, according to my pride. As he stood, I looked to my side, the comforter sitting there with the calm in his eyes. He seemed to stare and glare at my pride, as if their battle was concluding, and my pride was being sentenced to die. With a strength that creation can't deny, he sighed. And in that moment, I knew with the comforter, aka the Holy Spirit, I would ride. The judge spoke, my pride convicted to die. One last glance as the pain began to subside. It's over, young soldier, now it's you and I. Don't be scared, you're prepared and together we ride. Never alone or on your own, for I'm with you inside. No more danger, no longer a stranger, you learn it from me. So when you're choking, or find trouble coping, remember, eternity's alive. We created you, our creation, our bride.
You face it. I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's gonna take you to do. Face it, I taste it, and there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's gonna take you to do. You to do.
from that, the Holy Spirit let me know that the battle we're fighting most likely is with ourselves. It's not even with the outside world or Satan. We're fighting against us. That moment, the Holy Spirit let me in on a secret. He'd given me the beat to this song while I was laid up. I'd went back to work by then. I was sitting in my room. Still couldn't do too much the way of anything else because my job, I sit down all day and look at a computer, so I could do that. I was sitting in my room, and I was playing a video game. God, thank you for 2K15. And the Holy Spirit came to me. He said, you need to get up, and I want you to make this beat. And I was like, I really don't want to right now. I'm playing a video game. He's like, you need to do this right now. So okay, and he gave me this beat. And up to this point, I had never mixed anything like this before in my life, so I didn't really know what I was doing at all. And he literally, every step of the way, gave me the beat and how to mix it and everything he wanted me to do with it. And then I didn't have any words. I tried to think of stuff, and he's like, nope. And so I was like, well, Holy Spirit, what about the words? He's like, you got a meeting to go to. Trust me, when you get done with that meeting, you're going to have plenty to say. And then he gave me the words to this. A lot of times, you know, we might think we're getting passed over for something. You know, in my case, you know, I felt like I passed over to be a deacon in my church. You know, it's something of the Lord. It's a position in the church. You know, I felt like that was something that I was supposed to do. But God had other plans for me, and he still does. If God wanted me to be a deacon, I'd be a deacon, and there's nothing I can do about it. If he doesn't want me to be a deacon, I'm not going to be a deacon. There's nothing I can do about it. Amen. And God, what we have to understand is, you know, us chosen few, the ones who are willing to do God's work in whatever way that comes to you is, God is, we're secrets, okay? I'll be honest, we're secret. God keeps us close to his heart, all of us. And in times when he's going to use us, he often takes us through something so we can get rid of something, so he can give us something else. My behavior modification had nothing to do with me anymore. I had done the best I could do. He didn't say I did a bad job. It just wasn't sufficient enough. You know, I ran out, which, of course, I always was going to do. But he had to prove to me in that meeting, in that place, in that time, that there was, I couldn't stand on my own two feet. If the Holy Spirit hadn't showed up like he did, I don't know what would have happened. But he did. He was there. I didn't go through that fire alone. He was there with me. My pride had to die. In a way, in secret, I always knew it was going to come to a place where God's will was going to have to completely overrule me for me to get to where I want to be. You know, my favorite Bible character, one of my favorite Bible characters is Moses, and I'm jealous because Moses got to spend so much time with God. You know, the Bible says Moses got to see the form of God. You know, Moses is the one that got the Ten Commandments. Moses is the one that when it was time for him to die, nobody knows where he went because God took him and buried him off somewhere else. Moses is the one that Michael had to come to and face off with Satan because Satan wanted to take his body. That's Moses, you know. Heard it said that Moses had so much God in him, he couldn't die, so God had to tell him to die because that's how much anointed he walked in with the Father. Moses is the one that when he came down from the mountain from talking to God, they had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God was all over him. It's like, that's what I want. Really? Okay. Pride, me and pride don't get along, just so you know that. Me and pride we don't share at the same table, you know. So I had to be put in a situation. First, God set up my foundation. Before he ever took me to the place that I was going to be, the fire he was going to put me in to shape me, he made sure I understood my foundation. You know, he let me know the things I couldn't have. He let me know that I had a helpmate that was more important than I even realized. And then, after he gave me my foundation, he put me in the furnace. And he's like, I got to burn the rest of this off of you. After the meeting, I wish I could say I bounced right back. I was like, oh, thank you, God. No, I didn't bounce right back. It was like a couple weeks, and it was still really bothering me. I was at work one day, and I was praying. I was like, you know, I'm still kind of dragging, you know, I still don't, you know, in full view, why you did this, and this is what he gave me. He said, all right, son, let me explain it to you like this. It's like, you're walking down the hall, well, limping down the hall, right? I'm like, yep, that's me. He's like, okay, imagine on your ankles, there's two big raw pieces of meat on each ankle, okay? Like, okay. He's like, now imagine there is those little tiny dogs, like this big, and they're like, whatever those dogs are called, those two things. Thank you. Two chihuahuas on each leg, and you got meat on your feet that needs to get off. So they're down there, they're just ripping off that meat. All they're going to do is get rid of that meat, and they're going to be done. They're not going to actually touch you. That's what happened in the meeting. You had stuff on you that needed to get off. The only way you could get it off, I needed to send somebody to somebody's to get at that meat. God uses people the way he chooses to use people in our lives. Did I like it? No. But whatever those men had, they needed to have a lot of it to come at me. They needed to have more than I had. They needed to have more of what they had than I had strength. And so God gave it to them. They needed to have more trust in what they were saying, even though it wasn't true, than I had trust in what God said is true. And he gave it to them. Nobody comes at us unless God says so. And if they come at you and they are stronger than you, stop and think for a second. God loves me too much for anybody to beat me. So what is he using this person for in my life? And that's one thing I had to understand. This last one, I hear it a lot that anybody who's in here who is a parent who has children, okay? I'm a parent, but I'm also a child, okay? I have parents, obviously. Anyway, I just realized how pathetic that explanation was when I said it, so I apologize. All right, so you guys have to understand something. I'm speaking now as a child, okay, with parents. The things you say and do, we never forget. I don't care if we're halfway across the world. I don't care if we're in the military, if we're in jail, if we're wherever we are, we do not forget what you've taught us, whether it be things of the Lord or not. If you choose to teach your children things that aren't of God, they're never going to forget it. If you've done the best you can, and maybe you think, well, I didn't give them enough God, but you gave them some God, that's all they needed. And trust me, they're never going to forget it. I'm here today to prove it to you, because I'm a kid. I got a mommy and a daddy. Why I keep saying that? But, oh, geez. You can't cut my workshop anymore. Trying to be spiritual up here. No, but parents, seriously, you guys need to know our perspective. You know, it's time that you guys understand how we see you and how we value what you say. So this last one's to your parent. This is for you guys. This is so you know what we see, how thankful we are that we have you, and we only are what we are today because of you. And if you have children or somebody that you've raised and you don't think they are where they're supposed to be, but like I said, you've been that light of window of God in their life, trust me on this. The Bible says if you raise your children up in the things of the Lord, they will not stray from it. They will return to it. That means if you say Jesus to them, let's say, hypothetically, you have a mother. And in today's world, there's a lot of mothers without fathers. So say you're a single mother, and you lived your whole life, you didn't know about Jesus, your son or daughter's 18 years old, okay? On their 18th birthday, their graduation of high school, you got saved. They weren't around. So before they go off to college, you walk up to them, you give them a hug, congratulations, you graduated. By the way, Jesus loves you. And that's all you've ever said about Jesus. That's going to do more in their heart than anything they've ever experienced. Because you're the mom. Because you said it. Dad's the same thing. Whatever piece of God you give your children, that's more important than anything they'll ever see. And they will never forget it. They might blow you off then, be too cool, like whatever. But it got in, trust me. So this is to you. And to you.
This is not a song sung by me. This is poetry. Words said. Listen up. Mother's Day. Every day should be Mother's Day. The earth spoke first, into your hands I was given, and the love to be the force by which I was driven. In love, only God could have the vision. My life fashioned with miraculous precision. As I grew, you were there. As I strived, you wiped my tears with prayers that cared. As I learned, you lit the way. So if the dark came, in it, I would not stay. As I strived to find my way, you held me close and promised me a new day. As I grew, you healed my scars. You taught me patience and removed life's bars. And when fear came to exterminate me, you showed me how to fight. For running is not me, it's the ones like you and me. And when the time came for me to see, you set me down and instilled God in me. And for this, I can never repay. For I have grown in knowledge of how you live, but from the things God gives you to say. For all you have done, I know this much is true. I will achieve greatness. I will walk with the Father and complete my purpose. And it's all because of you. I love you, Mom. Unquestionable reign, whoever knows before you try to defy. Goliath and Gath was slain by David with a slingshot and a stone, and the power of the Creator is all seeing eye. But I see your heart still dry, turning cold the opposite of gold, ready to die. Still need proof? I'm your huckleberry to be. But you best know you won't find a soldier of God harder than me. Not for my own might, but for my belief in the Trinity. Spiritually a big butt, tough and ready to fight. I've survived the night. Death came, but without shame, when I was a baby boy, my dad and Louis Glass showed him the light. Death, he came with might, but my dad, God knows I'm glad, he was ready to fight. Might, huh, death thought he had it, right? My dad showed death, he was better than bad, began to pray, he brought the Almighty's light. In other words, all my dad to be, and you ain't never gonna find a soldier of God better than me. You still need proof 3D, I'm Dan Louis Glass, accepting my path. You ain't never gonna find a soldier of God more willing than me. Thanks, Fox. I love you. Existence does not accept me, for he that was coming was also found residing inside of me. Every step he took, I was to share. Every hurt he suffered, I was to bear. Every slander hurled at him also hit me. Every lie inspired, singed skin as fire, yet he never looked away. When the heavens opened up, I too was given the gift of sharing that day. So there I stood, but now I was not alone. For standing by my side, El Shaddai, promised his home. Finally, a place to call my own. In the embrace of the Heavenly Father, I'll never stand alone. Amen.
Anyway, in conclusion, everything came, God reminding me of my foundation, letting me know who he put in my life to assist me, then putting me in a place where I had to rely on him. After I went through the fire and I had to lay my pride down, I found the newness in God that I'm still experiencing today. That last song is a testament to a mother and a father's love. And when we put our time in with our children, the conclusion to their existence is them receiving the love of the Heavenly Father. And that's what God showed me. Because my parents did their job, because I chose to keep my eyes on him, because I admitted that I couldn't do it by myself, because I admitted that my understanding wasn't good enough no longer, God has brought me to a place now of humbleness that is beautiful. That's the only way I know to explain it. I'm still learning, obviously, but my behavior is no longer just in my hands. I get to ride on Jesus' coattails now. Is it going to be a learning experience? Yes. Is there going to still be times where I need to be corrected? Yes. But it's okay now. And he's let me know that's just part of the process. Before, where I would fight, now I surrender. The greatest gift God's given me in the past year was me hurting myself. Because if it wasn't for this injury, then that's what happened. If it wasn't for God putting me in a place to put me on my back so I could hear him clearly, God loved me so much, so much, he gave me this gift. Put me on my back. Put me in my bed. Pace of rest so I could hear him clearly. I told you I couldn't get wood, and that's how my house is heated. That's how good our God is. Nate keeps talking about grace. That's how good our God is. After I started going back to work, me and my coworker, I started a young men's group, and my coworker, he's part of it. And when we get together at work, we just God talk. We just blow up. We just God this, God that. That's all we do. So we were talking one day, and I was like, man, he's like, how you do? You like doing? I'm like, I'm doing okay, but I can't get wood, man. I was like, I can't lift anything too heavy because I can't put weight on this leg to carry it. I can't step on it. At that point, I couldn't even walk as good as I'm walking now. And I was like, man, how does that show how weak my faith really is when I need wood and I'm worried about getting it because I can't get it? At least we were laughing about it. I was like, you know what? In conclusion, God's going to provide, you know. God's going to provide. I get off work that day, and where I work on a missile base, and I work on, we call it the dark side, because I have to go through security, because I work where the missiles are actually are. And so to go through where I work, I have to go through security and get badged in, and do searches and all that kind of stuff. So when I leave, I do the same process, searches, turn my badge in, and then I go back to the other side, where my shop actually is. So I'm back to my shop, and I'm on crutches, and I walk in the shop, and I go to turn my truck keys into our production control. And this guy that I know, we've been working with him for 2.5 years. I know the guy, but I don't know the guy. Like, we're acquaintances, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know his name, I know what he looks like, but that's it. So I walk in there, hand my keys, and he walks up to me. Old, he's like 63, he's about this tall. He walks up to me, he's drinking coffee, looks at me, goes, how's your leg? By this time, I'm overhearing the leg jokes, okay? I'm like, oh, it's good, you know, it's getting better. He's like, how's your wood? I was like, yeah, I haven't got any wood yet at all. He's like, yeah, that's what I figured. He's like, you know what? I'm going to bring you some wood. Yeah, I'm going to bring you some wood. Don't worry about it. Take care of it. Walks away. I'm like, really? Had this conversation last night. Put my faith in God about getting wood. This guy walks to me. I didn't say anything to him about getting wood. It gets better. So finally, he brings the wood over to my house. And he brings the wood over to my house. I hobble out to where he's at, and, you know, he's throwing off the back of his truck, and I'm kind of leaning on his truck, and I go to pick up a piece. He's like, don't touch it. I got this. Don't worry about it. I'm like, cool. I'm standing there. I'm like, okay, you know, God, is this an appointment? Am I supposed to be talking about God with this guy? So, you know, not in the Holy Spirit. This is me talking to myself, like, maybe I should mention God. You know, I'm going to be a good Christian. So I was like, hey, it's funny because last night me and Aaron were talking and I was just telling God, you know, I needed wood and I couldn't get it. This is what he said. God? I don't believe in God. He's like, whoever you pray to, the girl or the guy up in the sky with the big beard, he's like, no disrespect, Ben, but I don't believe in that at all. I don't believe in God. I just know you needed wood, and so I just felt bringing you some wood. And I'll have four more loads coming to you, but I don't believe in God. And it took everything in me not to bust out laughing, because it reminded me of that story. There was this old black woman, you guys might have heard it, and she's in her apartment, and she didn't have any money, and she needed groceries. And so she kept praying every night. She'd pray, God, I need groceries, God, I need groceries, God, I need groceries. Well, her neighbor got really pissed off and sick of her praying. He was an atheist. And so he goes to the store, gets her all these groceries, locks on her door. He goes to hand the groceries. Like, now there you go. You got your groceries. And God didn't do it for you. I did. She's like, not only God gave me the groceries, but he had the devil pay the bill and shut the door. Boom. So when he said this to me, I'm looking at him, and I'm trying not to laugh, like, you're right. That God, he or she, doesn't exist. But you're bringing me wood. And you're 63, and you're going to bring me four more loads. God bless you. He drove off. That just goes to show, you know, when we learn to humble ourselves before God, we surrender. All of our needs are met by God. God knew when I first hurt myself. He knew where he was going to take me, what I had to go through, what he was going to show me. But he also knew I still had physical needs that I could no longer provide for myself. So when I made the decision to humble myself and rely on Jesus, he took care of the rest. Amen. And that's it. Amen. Any questions? No. All right. Thank you guys very much. And since Nancy's not here, I got one more testimony. I didn't want to do this. This was not part of my workshop at all. I did not want to share these songs because they're really rough, and I just pieced them together at home. In my bathroom, some in the closet, because that's what I got. The second day we were here, God's like, you're not going to do what you thought you did with your workshop. You're going to do your songs. And I was like, no, I'm not. He's like, oh, that's what I want you to do. So I was wrestling back and forth, and I was, you know, at Clay's house, and we were supposed to be sleeping, and I was up till like 5 in the morning, like, God, you know, I really don't want to do this, I'm scared, they're not going to like it, nobody likes rap, it's kind of rap-ish. And I was like, God, okay, God, you want me to do this, give me a sign. So Nancy has us all lined up there on Thursday, we all line up there, Mary Beth stands right next to me. It's my turn with the mic, and Mom's on the mic, and I'm like, man, I was like, God, seriously, dude, if you really want me to do the songs you gave me, you better confirm it in a way that I can't, my mind, my flesh, none of us can say no. Mary Beth grabs the mic, doing her presentation, and she goes, rap like Ben. I almost grabbed the mic and threw it across the room, like, what? You want me to do what? But thank you for, you know, it's being you. I think it's being you. And this is still a testimony. God's going to use what he wants to use with us, however he wants to use it. This was not, and the only reason why I had this is because God knew what I was going to do. He knew what he planned for me to do. Me and my wife just bought this, and I only brought it with me because I was working on another song that I hadn't finished yet. So I bought it to use at Clay's house, and that's not what he used it for. I'm done.